In a world of conflicting values, when questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Now, here's the Word for Life broadcast, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church.
Thank you for joining us for the Word for Life broadcast, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church. And my name is Ken Keltner, pastor at Brookside. I'm joined in studio this morning with Scott Sander, who is our newest pastoral staff. He and his wife Diane are on staff now. And if you missed the introduction to Pastor Scott, you can pick it up on our last broadcast. Just recently was voted by our church to be on the staff. He's going to be one of our teaching pastors, and also he and his wife are going to be the counselors. So really skilled and certified in counseling. And so if you have needs or you know somebody that needs help, you let us know. If you don't have a church home, we'd love to invite you to come and join us at Brookside, 9 o'clock, 10:15 on Sunday mornings. We do have Bible studies at 9 and 10:15 for children, for teens, for adults. And then also, let me encourage you, if you don't have plans for Sunday night, our adult Christmas program, titled The Promised One, will be put on here at Brookside at 6 p.m. this Sunday night, the 17th. Then Christmas Eve service, Christmas Eve is on a Sunday, and so we'll have our 9 o'clock or 10:15 service, no Sunday school hours. And 4 p.m., we'll have our candlelight Christmas Eve service, lasts for about an hour, and trust that you might be able to come out for that. And then on the 31st, that's a Sunday, morning is services and so forth are the same, but 8 p.m. is when we'll all gather back. We'll have a film, we'll have some refreshments, games, activities, end with communion going into the new year. So that'll be a great evening. I hope that you can join us for it. Well, let's jump right into our text here. If you've been joining us, the Danites haven't listened to God, and we're going to get into a section of Scripture in Revelation where they are missing from the tribes of the evangel of where the Hebrew evangelists during the tribulation come from, and we'll get into that here in the next few broadcasts, but we've left off with the fact that their spies have come back and reported, hey, look, there's this country that we believe God's given to us. And the Sidonians were there, peaceful people. They were prosperous. Wasn't that they were unholy or anything. It's not where God had told the Danites to settle in when they came in to possess the land. And they went and actually kind of just took over and massacred many people and took the land themselves. And then we left off that they were declaring that, hey, this is what God's given to us. Mm-hmm. They're believing it. They think, as you said, the guy picks up the defensive end, picks up the ball and the fumble, but he gets discombobulated and heads the opposite direction. And, you know, I mean, he's thinking he's going the right way.
Yeah. And everyone else is going nuts.
They're screaming at him, turn around, go the other way.
That was a great point about comfort, too, and what an idol that becomes even in the church today. But you don't read the Apostle Paul writing in his letters, here's how to live a comfortable Christian life.
Exactly. I mean, he said, no, I've learned to be content.
Yeah.
And then he gives a whole slew of circumstances he's been in, and a lot of them were not comfortable positions. That's a great point. Someone said there's only three philosophy in life today. It's what's mine is mine, I'll keep it. What yours is mine, I'll take it. And what's mine is yours, I'll share it. The Danites, with their greed and violence, followed the second philosophy of life. It's easy, it's convenient, my friends, to want to rationalize selfish desires by saying that the opportunity to fulfill them is because God led me here. Now, we want to at least sound spiritual. The Danites claimed divine support, but their confidence was based on a statement that was almost an afterthought and was given by a rogue priest at an idolatrous shrine. I like what Warren Wiersbe said about the difference between idolaters and true believers. Listen to what he said. Idolaters worship gods they can carry, but Christians worship a God who carries them.
That's great.
I mean, we really do need to see the outcome of Dan's commitment to easy living and idolatrous worship. We will look at their successful crusade, but looking on the surface, it will look like everything just worked out hunky-dory for the tribe of Dan. However, you do not always reap the harvest of your sins immediately. And trust me, you cannot sin and get away with it. When you sin, I mean, you can say, I'm going to do what I want to do, but you have to be ready to reap the consequences of it. There's two facts here of information we need to know about the Danites. When you look at Jacob's prophecy concerning the tribe of Dan, remember the tribe of Dan descended from Jacob's fifth son, born of Rachel's handmaid, Bilhah. Jacob prophesied in Genesis 49:17 that Dan shall be a serpent by the way, a viper by the path that bites the horse's heel so that its rider shall fall backward. In other words, the tribe of Dan would not be remembered for moral fortitude or spiritual faithfulness. Dan's remembered today as guilty of not taking what God had given them and taking what God had not given them. In the end, they lost all they had because the Assyrians came in, destroyed them, and actually took the land from them. And so the tribe of Dan is also precariously omitted from the list of tribes in Revelation 7, who make up the 144,000 Hebrew believers who are going to carry out a special ministry for God during the tribulation. You see here, Scott, this is a great picture of the principle of sowing and reaping.
Yep.
You know, what you sow, you're going to reap. Moses told them earlier in Deuteronomy 29 that if their hearts turn away from God and they serve other gods, that the Lord would not spare them. For then the anger of the Lord and his jealousy would burn against that man, and every curse that is written in this book will settle on them. And the Lord would blot out his name from under heaven. And the Lord would separate him from all the tribes of Israel for adversity, according to all the curses of the covenant that are written in this book of the law. You might ask, well, what can we learn from this particular incident with the tribe of Dan? And then, of course, going back to Micah there in chapter 17. Well, the last verse of Judges 18 lets us know that the house of God was in Shiloh. God's made it possible for people to approach him, worship him, know him, and live with him. Remember, back in this time, the tabernacle was the place of God's presence among his people, and it was in Shiloh, and should have been the focal point of Micah and the Danites. That should have been what was focused in their lives. And I would say so should God's tabernacle be for us today. For the word that became flesh dwelt, and that word is tabernacled amongst us.
Mm-hmm.
If we don't center our lives on Jesus as the way to approach worship, to know and live with God, then we are centering our lives on really a man-made religion and on an idol, on something that cannot bless. Someone said this well, and you need to listen carefully to this. God has no grandchildren. Every individual must accept God's gift personally. And what we see here in Judges really is it's going from one generation to another generation. I mean, you can see it fall off. I mean, they might be in captivity for 40 years. But after a couple of these scenarios, you got a whole new generation and they follow the path of their dads and their granddads and their great granddads. And no one is going to be related to God by a family tree. No tribe, no denomination, no local church. We're related to him personally. As scholar and writer Don Carson stated, one generation knows the gospel of Christ personally, the next generation assumes it, and the third loses it. And the question would be, what path are you on, and where are you leading? And it begins to intensify here in chapter 18 as we move on to see exactly what is going to take place. Now, let me just share with you, too, that what we find here in chapter 17 through the end of chapter 21, these five chapters are considered to be really flashbacks of the early stage of which it's been really given to us this insight into the moral condition of the times. So in terms of chronology, chapter 17 doesn't follow the career of Samson, but it really follows not long after Joshua's death. So we're getting some illustrations, some stories of exactly what was taking, some narratives of what was taking place here at the end of Joshua's death. And I think, Scott, you can weigh in on this, but I think the narratives teach us what happens when we turn away from the authority of God's Word. When God's revelation is rejected, moral confusion is going to be the outcome. And I don't believe the problem necessarily is with the people, you know, that they're going in to take out of the land because God had given them the land, which that's a big issue today. But the problem is not the enemy without, it's the cancer within. So, my friends, these five chapters that are pictured here for us, it's really just how Israel hit rock bottom. I mean, it's interesting. This one verse is repeated twice in these chapters, and it's found in chapter 17, verse 6, and it's found in chapter 21, verse 25. In those days, there was no king in Israel, and everyone did that which was right in their own eyes. And you know, Scott, I was thinking about this. The Israelites did not do what was wrong in their own eyes.
No.
On the contrary, they were convinced that they were doing what was right. And what was right for them, it was a society filled with violence, idolatry, gross immorality, and was basically just utterly pagan. And yet these people thought what they did was right.
You could say those same words about today's society, Ken. What an apt description in many ways. People are just doing what's right in their own eyes.
And that's why when you're at the intersection and your light turns green, you need to wait just a half second.
Yeah.
Maybe a full second or two. Because, no, it was pink that I went running through. You know, we do what's right.
Mm-hmm.
The value system, it's a mess today. It was back in that day. The moral standards, the religious doctrines and practices had all lost touch with reality and absolute truth. And I'll close with this. As a result of what was happening here in Judges, and it is, Scott, you're right, a picture of today, only the swamp of relativism. And you say, well, what's relativism? Relativism is judgments that people make that are varying between individuals and their environments, and thinking, hey, this is okay to do. And so, really, at this time, only the swamp of relativism was left. And that is what makes Judges so practical to this 21st century and 21st century believers, for we too live in a society that has no standards. The basic life philosophy of our day, if it's right to you, that is in your own eyes, do it. And as believers, we know that is not the philosophy of God's Word. We're to follow Him and follow His Word.
Amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's program. If you have a question we can answer or would like information on the Word for Life, would like to donate to continue to produce this broadcast, or need resources for your Christian walk, contact us at Brookside Baptist Church, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. You can also visit us at brooksidebc.org. That's brooksidebc.org. Or call us at 262-783-6180. That's 262-783-6180. Thanks for listening today, and please tune in again as we bring the Word of God to your life.